today on The Word of Truth Revealed.
Nothing else in the Bible, including the doctrine of stewardship, will make any sense if you don't understand this. You are not an owner. If you don't get this, you are not an owner. You're a manager. God is the owner of it all. And eventually you'll come to understand that. Eventually in life, better sooner than later, but eventually you'll understand that you're not the owner. You're the manager.
Celebrating 32 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
Join Bishop Clark for the message, Six Pillars for Growing Stewards. Today, Bishop will be teaching from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 through 5.
When we realize we are managers of the resource that he's given us. I said managers and not owners. Okay, I know you say I own my house, but really you're a manager. It's amazing to me how no one has ever been able to take their house into the afterlife. Or even the diamonds that you wear, the clothes, the shoes, the Jordans, the stuff that you like, or your ganja. You can't take any of it in there. It's all left outside of the casket. You can't squeeze it through nothing, none of the millions that you have. I was thinking about Steve Jobs, who created this. Multi-billionaire. His stuff, Apple, is one of the greatest companies that has ever emerged on the earth today. Almost a $1 trillion company. It may be close to it. Conrado may know. But I heard of his death on the device that he created. I was looking at an iPad when I heard that Steve Jobs passed away. He had a vision, and it's unique. And the man who's running the company right now is taking it into new zones. I believe he lives an alternative lifestyle. I'm not putting that down. I'm just here to tell you that all you Christian folk that just want to talk about God don't bless nobody, if you you don't even understand. We're in a kingdom, the world. God uses all of that to get his message out. I'm going to teach and preach what the Bible says about lifestyle, but we don't hate nobody. We need to be a good steward over what he's given to us, even our time on the internet. That's why I'm cutting away the fat and the parasite in my life. And you need to do the same to be a good steward of what he gives you to manage. Thank you, Lord. When we realize we are managers of these resources and not owners, it will change how we use the things that he's given us to manage. Fundamentally, stewardship is about how well we exercise our God-given authority. It is how we manage well and exercise the God-given authority. Here's another word, the dominion that he's given us over his creation. This is the fundamentals of stewardship. You got to see how well do you exercise your God-given authority to manage his creation. Because here's the two things you need to see. We either manage God's people or we manage his creation. This is where stewardship starts. Through our stewardship, we reflect God's plan and his overall love for his creation. Let's look at Genesis 1 and 1. It's on the screen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Time, space, and matter. In the beginning, time, God created the heavens, space, and the earth, matter. For you scientific folk, it's all right there. God created it. Well, how can he do that? How can he speak it into existence? Believe me, a 747 jet or an F-15 didn't come out of chaos. Somebody designed it. And I believe God designed the universe. Stop trying to be so scientific. Science is in the Bible. But you got to understand something. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God put a man in charge of his earth to take dominion over it, or to dress it and to keep it, and to magnify and multiply that activity in the Garden of Eden around the world. I need you to be fruitful, and I need you to multiply the authority that I've given you and the dominion over my creation to keep it in order. Because when there is no stewardship over God's creation, it will go wild. First thing Adam starts doing is naming animals. Why would he name them? Why is it necessary to name? Why did he leave it to Adam to name them? The giraffe would do this. The alligator would do that. The mosquito would do this. The lion will do that. The sheep would do this. The sea creatures would do that. A man did it. Why would you? He's trying to show you that I've given the man dominion over the creation to keep it in order. So the sheep won't cohabit with the horse. Then he looked at the man and say, it is not good for him to be alone, because if I don't put order in his life, he will try to sleep and to rest and to find comfort among the beasts. And this is what happens even today. When you don't find God's order, you'll find another pillow to lay on in the wild. You'll find it in the wild. You'll fall in love with a cat and treat the cat better than you treat human beings. You'll love a hamster when it dies. You'll cry over a hamster. A hamster? You'll cry a grown man over a hamster? A woman over a hamster? But when you see little babies with big bellies, you know, they need, somebody needs to do something. Maybe they curse God. Making statements like that, thinking you're a part of God's family? It is not good for man to be alone, because that man will cohabit with nature in a way that God didn't design him. You're supposed to take dominion over the dog, not put the dog on your lap and it barks at everybody in the house but you. And you think that, ooh, the dog loves me. No, the dog needs to be in the doghouse. Not barking at children, barking at your man, barking at everybody, but just loving on you. The dog is saying she's mine when it does that. I'm alpha. I run this pack. The little chihuahua. If you don't bring order to it, it will take over you. If you don't take order over your money, weeds will grow in it. I'm wearing right now what you call Creed Aventus. It is the champion's perfume. It's called Aventus. They took lime notes and herbs and squeezed them together in a perfume house to create what we call Aventus from the house of Creed. They took dominion over natural things. They took authority over natural things and created something that we can wear. I'm not walking around with flowers around my neck. Wood, a piece of wood around my neck. Herbs around my neck. It would be too many. But they were able to take all of that and take dominion over it, put it in a bottle so I can squeeze it for my glory, at my discretion, for my pleasure. And God has put things in charge, or you in charge of things, to squeeze it, to get the nectar out of it. to manage it well so it won't grow wild. Put all of that for the pleasure of man. To take care of his people and his creation. You can ride by any house. If you see grass growing up, you're going to say something is wrong with that house. If the yard is not manicured, you're going to say something wrong with their marriage. They may be perfect in there, but usually that's how you will be judged. If you don't groom yourself, somebody's going to say their heart got hurt. If your tire got bald tire, they're going to say something wrong with their money. If you won't wash your car, people will judge you. You don't care? Okay, then why are you dealing with people if you don't care? God makes you a steward over people and over his creation. You've got to care. If you don't care, you're not a good manager. Who hired you? Even if you're the head of a family, you should care about the family, right? Is it your family? Okay, really? Yeah, it is, but he really owns it. He wants me to manage it well. Eventually, these babies are going to grow and they're going to leave the nest. And I don't want them struggling or in shackles when I'm not around. Nothing else in the Bible, including the doctrine of stewardship, will make any sense if you don't understand this. You are not an owner. If you don't get this, you are not an owner. You're a manager. God is the owner of it all. And eventually you'll come to understand that. Eventually in life, better sooner than later, but eventually you'll understand that you're not the owner. You're the manager. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 18, I consider that our present sufferings. Yes, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was without form. Something happened to his beautiful creation. Look at Romans 8 and verse 18. I consider that our present sufferings are not worthy, are worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. So whatever you're going through as a manager, it cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in your management. Now, God made Joseph a manager. Actually, the birthright of any family tree in the Old Testament always went to the eldest. Right? So in Jacob's line, his eldest son, Reuben, is supposed to be the one who gets the inheritance. But the Bible says Jacob loved Joseph and he gave him the coat of many colors. In other words, he's saying you will be the one to take the line. Why? It is because Reuben found his father's concubine is fine. And he had a relationship with her. Read the text. And his father was so grieved. I'm not going to stop you from being my son, but you will not get the inheritance because of that indiscretion. You decided to make her your girlfriend when she belongs to me. y'all want the real text? Okay. Because see, y'all want to just read the nice, fine scriptures. Bala belonged to me. But because y'all were around the same age, you think it's okay. She's mine. And you got to be able to say that, parents, some things are mine. It is not for my eldest son, not for my youngest son. You don't touch that. If it's on my dresser, leave it alone. You got to ask for permission. Now, I'm preaching better than y'all are saying amen. Because you don't know how to parent. You don't know how to parent. You want to be everybody's friend. Or you're so aggressive, people are afraid of you. Notice, Jacob could have killed his son for it. He didn't. But he lost his position. And it went to Joseph, the 11th son. Okay, that's why they hated him. Because he gave him a coat of many colors. He preferred him. And Joseph's two sons took the place of Simeon and Levi. Reuben and Simeon, I believe. So Ephraim and Manasseh were adopted by Jacob, and they took the two places where Reuben lost his spot, and I believe it was Simeon. He was so angry, he and Levi were so angry at Shechem, they killed all of the men. And your anger, you can get so mad, you can lose your inheritance. You got to be a steward even over your emotions. You got to control it. I don't care that you're strong. You don't knock down walls. You don't punch walls, knock them to man of you. That's not how you do what you do. You need temperance in all things to manage your strength. And ladies, you may be bold, but you don't go all off on, just control that. Don't throw your neck at me. Wait a minute. You can't even handle a chest punch. Stop that. You don't want domestic violence, any of that. Why are you all up in folk faces? Stay in your lane. Manage your emotions. Sometimes the Bible says if you feed stuff with words, you'll cause it to burn. It's a lot of times, if you just back up with the words, be a steward and manage your emotions well, we won't have as much domestic violence. Am I saying to you that it's okay for a person to hurt you? Absolutely not. But control the tongue. It is a world of iniquity. I consider that the sufferings of our present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And Joseph, even though he was given top spot, didn't know that he would suffer to really receive the inheritance. But it was granted to him. And those of you that are walking in chains right now, people don't understand that God has favor on your life because you're in that chain stage. Two chains stage. God still has favor on you. Just keep walking the path, even though your ankles are hurting. Keep going forward, even though they threw you in a pit. Keep moving forward, being a good steward. Because one of the things Joseph did is made sure that he managed what his father put him over well. If you notice, when he was even caught to be sold into slavery, he was on a mission from his father. His daddy said, I want you to go and check on your brothers. How'd you send a 17-year-old to check on grown men? I want you to go and check on them. He was already giving him managerial authority. Check on them and bring me back a report on how well they're doing. Well, the Bible says they moved to a different spot. They were supposed to be in one spot, they moved. And as Joseph was seeking for them, a man showed up. We don't know who this man is. It could have been an angel. But he said, your brothers have moved from this spot and they've gone this way. That man knew that Joseph wouldn't return home. He knew that something was about to happen for the lad. That was negative, but it was still in God's plan. And Joseph was given the ability to manage as a 17-year-old. Even though he was thrown in the pit and then sold to the Ishmaelites and went to Potiphar's house, he did not stop being a good steward, even though his stuff wasn't right. Your situation is not an excuse for you to just throw all of your hands up and say, I don't care about how things wind up. You are charged by God even now to be a good steward. I don't care what you're going through. Be a good steward of what he placed over your life. Eventually, you're going to come up out of the dungeons. Even after he left Potiphar's house and was cast in the prison, Jewish historians say Pharaoh heard about him because he purified the waters down there. He saw irrigation. He saw how sewage and irrigation were running together. He said, we need to shift that. He could have said, man, I'm down in a dungeon. There's no light. I'm not doing anything. I'm hurt. I don't like the way they treated me. Not Joseph. Even though there's no light, I remember the word that was spoken to me. And I know the dream that I had. It doesn't look nothing like it down here. But I'm going to stick with my managerial skills. And I'm going to be a good manager over what they put over me or under my authority. And right now I'm over a prison. So I'm going to make sure everybody gets clear water down here. And some of us throw our hands up, but you want to run a company. We throw our hands up, but you want to be a good mommy. You throw your hands up, but you want to say, I'm a good daddy. You throw your hands up, but where is your church? Do you even think about your church? Do you ever think about the work of God or how I can better the kingdom of God? If you just talk to one person a month, you would have 12 coming, glory to God. 12 people a year. And if everybody did that, we would move out of this city. How well do you manage what you have? Everybody want the mic. Everybody want the mic. But what are you doing with your skill set now? Let me start rebuking and preach again. For the creature. I like it. Look at verse 19. The creation waits in eager expectation. The King James calls the creation the creature. The creature waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be manifested. In other words, the world is wild if we don't become stewards. And even the earth, the creature is groaning, waiting for us to become stewards over this earth. Whether you believe in climate control or not, the scripture says it groans. Waiting the manifestations or good stewards that have been given charge over God's creation to make sure she's not crying. So start with your yard. Get some weed and feed. Why are you letting good grass die because weeds are growing? Get some weed and feed and spend some money on your grass and get some irrigation in there as well so your grass can be green because she's crying. Prune your flowers, man. Prune your flowers. Make sure your flowers are right. Manage what God has given you well before you start looking at other buildings and other stuff in the community. Take care of your own house. Clean it up. Make sure it's all shifting and doing what it needs to do. Because if you do that well, eventually God will open you up to something greater. You clicking like on everybody else's church and you don't care about your own? You forgot? I'm not with that. I'm not with this. What are you with? Your vacation has been a long time. 3-4 years. Come back home. Ah, Jesus. Anybody can click like on something that they like, but you need somebody to challenge your attitude so you can become a good steward and manager over what God has given you. And your attitude over it is just as powerful as your management over it. You can do the job all day, but if your heart isn't in it, why don't you tell me so? If my heart wasn't in it, I wouldn't get a check. I would be gone long ago. Keep your heart right before God. Verse 20, for the creature was subjected to frustration, to decay, to problems and issues, not by its own choice. This creation didn't say, I just want to produce thorns and thistles. But God subjected her to it. Look at the word, but by the will of the one who subjected it. In hope. In other words, God says, I'm going to allow thorns and thistles to flood the earth and still waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God that it will come back into order after redemption. So God is waiting on us to rise up. Some things in our community won't change, especially injustices, weeds of injustices until we rise up. And that creation itself, is that you, James Cook? I hear your voice. You just buried your father yesterday? Thank you for being an ounce of the Lord. We bless you in Jesus' name. Touch him, God. Touch Angela. Bless him now. In the name of Jesus. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. What good is it preaching gospel and you don't see representation of stewardship to manage your emotions? After Lord your Father in the earth, I'm coming back to the house to worship.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org. For an MP3 of today's message from Six Pillars for Growing Stewards, log on to our website at www.truthrevealed.org and download reference number 2202-1308. That's reference number 2202-1308. Help us unveil truth to the nations by becoming a partner with Truth Revealed International Ministries. We would like to thank you in advance for your consideration and for generously supporting this ministry. Connect with Trim Nation by downloading the Truth Revealed Church app today. The Truth Revealed app is available on Android and Apple mobile devices. Services can also be watched on Facebook, YouTube, Apple TV, and Roku.
Ladies, don't forget to join Pastor Sabrina Sundays at 10 a.m. in the sanctuary for Women's Sunday School. Married and engaged couples, join us for the Marriage Enrichment Hearts Intertwined Session on Saturday, May 21st at 7 p.m. in the sanctuary. Childcare is provided. Baby dedication is scheduled for Sunday, May 29th at the 8 a.m. service. Forms are due by Sunday, May 22nd and are available at guest services. Parents, if you have a college-bound high school senior, then the Truth Revealed Scholarship is for you. The annual Trim Excellence Award application period is open until Sunday, May 29th. Get more details and request an application in the Truth Revealed mobile app.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.
You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hi, I'm Captain Jim Ross. My son, Captain Justin Ross, and I give our listeners weekly tips to help them catch more fish every Saturday morning from 7 to 9 a.m. on our Catch a Memory Outdoors radio program on this station. Now it's time for you to get some one-on-one attention to seriously improve your fishing skills. Call Fineline Fish and Charters and let us help you become the angler you've always wanted to be. We offer instructional fishing charters that will have you hooking up to fish in no time. Learn how to read the water, spot cruising fish, tie knots, and cast like a pro. Just give us a call, 321-636-3728, or go to our website, finelinefishingcharters.com, and book your entertaining and instructional fishing charter with one of us today.